6 years, Mike.
6 years.
It's quite something.
Tja, let's hope for the best.
You didn't want to cry.
I know. It's the last time, I promise.
January 2021. Mike Messing has come to the city of Karlsruhe in western Germany because the Federal Court of Justice is going to announce its decision. Will his daughter remain in custody, or will she be released? A few hours later, our wait comes to an end. The woman in the black coat is Leonora Messing. At 21, she stands accused of being a member of the Islamic State. Her father, Mike, has been fighting for the last 6 years for his Leo. Now she's free, at least until her upcoming trial.
Leonora Messing has no words.
Hello, Frau Messing.
Hello, Mrs. Messing. She's in the car.
Hello? I'm coming home.
This is the story of a father and his daughter. A story that I've accompanied for 7 years, one that would take me to Syria, a country torn apart by civil war.
Your own child would rather go join terrorists than stay with you, and even think it's cool.
To one of the most brutal terrorist groups of our time.
Islam was in.
A fight between life and death.
You have to leave as fast as you can.
Papa, where are they? I'm waiting. Please, Papa, please.
In a Syrian prison camp.
I was very afraid. They put a bounty on my head, $70,000.
And back to a village in eastern Germany.
I'm here.
We could overcome the most terrible things together. We fought 6 years to get her back, and we couldn't handle 6 weeks of living under one roof together.
It's a story about guilt and second chances. This is where it all began. Breitenbach, in Saxony-Anhalt, Germany. In 2015, Leonora and her father Mike Messing were living a seemingly happy life. At 15, Leonora was a typical teenager. Her parents had separated some years earlier. Her father Mike, who ran a bakery, had recently remarried. Leonora seemed, on the outside, like a happy girl, interested in boys and cosmetics. She even ran a YouTube channel with makeup tips.
Hello friends, and welcome to my latest video. Today I've got my March favorite tips in the beauty department. This is number 07 from Essence, which looks like this.
Unbeknownst to her family, Leonora had converted to Islam and become radicalized a year earlier. Then one day, she just disappeared. Leonora had left for Syria, a different world. A war-torn country under control of the Islamic State. For an agonizing 12 days, Mike heard nothing from Leonora. Then, finally, in March 2015, a voice message. Mike couldn't know then that his cell phone would soon become the only tenuous link to his daughter.
Hi, Papa. I'm trying to send you a voice message. Hope it reaches you quickly. I'm doing really well. We have a really big apartment here. I decorated everything in purple, of course. We don't have couches here, but these pillows you sit on. I'm also sending you photos of the present he gave me. Gold.
Leonora told of her wedding. At just 15, she had married an Islamic State fighter. Here, the official wedding photo. Leonora, one of his three new brides.
Wir wurden dann verheiratet.
We were married by the IS. Und dann hieß es nur kurz they had us go into the room briefly and give them a thumbprint. And just like that, we were married.
Ach, und die Braut
oh, and the bridal gift. They asked us what we wanted as our gift. In my case, it was a gold necklace and bracelet. Then they said, congratulations, you're married. Sure, it was unpleasant. We didn't even know each other. Yeah, we'd written each other a few times on WhatsApp and things like that, but you can't really get to know someone like that.
Her husband, Nihat, also came from Eastern Germany. His real name is Martin Lemke. He'd left for Syria about 6 months before Leonora and had become an intelligence officer for the Islamic State. Soon after his daughter vanished, Mike contacted a journalist. That's where I come in, Volkmar Kabisch. I'd been reporting on terrorism for years and spent time in Syria and Iraq. We hit it off right away. We didn't know it at the time, but there would be many more meetings and conversations like this one in 2015, mostly revolving around one question: why?
She shut us out completely, kept us out of that part of her life. A young girl voluntarily goes to Syria. Here she wouldn't even go into the barn because of the mice. But then she heads off to a civil war where all hell had broken loose, where people aren't messing around.
In Raqqa, the capital of the Islamic State, Leonora encountered the true face of the terrorist militia. She often texted her father about what she'd seen. This happened right in front of Leonora's doorstep. And with these atrocities, the IS was making propaganda on the internet, recruiting new followers and scaring opponents. Now, in January 2021, Leonora has left the terror state behind. She's been released from detention in Germany, awaiting trial, and is headed back to her small village. In the 6 years since she left, she's been through war, terror, imprisonment, and the long fight to get back home.
I haven't really grasped it all yet. Sitting in a cell like that, you don't see much of the outside world or that you're back in Germany. You're in jail.
Leonora still has a long and difficult road ahead of her. She's being investigated for membership in a terrorist organization. Soon after arriving in Syria in 2015, Leonora's dreams gave way to a grim reality. She found her husband repulsive, the Islamic State too brutal, and life as one of three wives fraught with conflict.
He'd never scold me or beat me the way he hit her. They'd even compare the beatings. They'd say mine weren't as bad as hers.
We had the impression that her husband was in over his head. Some people might think, three wives, great. But of course, they're all people with needs, desires, wishes.
I never heard that from Martin, that it was stressful. Quite the opposite. He said he'd like three more wives.
After 2 months, from what we gathered, she realized that her situation there wasn't what she'd expected. She even said it, said, I'd like to go home and it would be nice if you could do something. And then it's helpful to know someone who knows someone.
What Mike is referring to are my journalistic contacts, traffickers. And they had contact with terrorists. But should I, a journalist, act as a go-between? After many discussions, we decided yes, on the condition that Mike make any and all decisions on his own. We met in Turkey. Smuggling someone out of IS-controlled territory can be extremely dangerous, particularly for a woman traveling alone. At a hotel in the south of Turkey, Mike met the smugglers. I took a back seat. He handled the negotiations.
My meeting with Abu, he was clean-cut, well-groomed. He said he had ties to the Nusra Front, so Al-Qaeda, more or less. So Mike from Breitenbach, a town of 200, is sitting in a hotel with two guys from Al-Qaeda, drinking tea and smoking 100 cigarettes. They're definitely terrorists. Real thugs. But I want my daughter back.
Ich will das Kind wieder haben.
Then it begins. Somewhere in Syria, some men are making their way to Raqqa. They'd managed to smuggle people out of the IS capital in the past, an extremely dangerous undertaking. In 2015, Raqqa was the heart of the Islamic State, fully in the grip of the terror group's security forces, who were constantly on patrol. Leonora sent Mike her location and photos of the surrounding area, knowing she could be put to death if she were caught.
I was just staring at the clock. 10 minutes go by, no word. 20 minutes, still nothing.
The plans kept falling through, each time putting Leonora at greater risk.
Papa, where are they? I keep waiting, but no one comes. No one's there. Papa, please.
Papa, bitte, bitte, Papa.
The smugglers made more than 10 attempts to reach her.
Jeder Tag hatte so eine Stunde, anderthalb.
There was an hour and a half every day that just took everything I had. The worry, asking and answering questions correctly, the fear. It's hard to describe that kind of tension.
Das kann man gar nicht richtig beschreiben, ja.
But they didn't give up, setting up a meeting at an internet cafe in Raqqa.
The smugglers then did something they hadn't done before by going into the internet cafe. We were waiting here. It was 6.01 p.m., then 6.02. 6.05. Leo didn't come online. All sorts of thoughts were going through my head and it was unbearable. Come on, Leonora, we can't make it any easier for you than this. At 6.40, she finally came online.
Das war das Letzte.
And that was the last we heard from her.
The
last time she wrote.
Ja.
Then, nothing. Days went by with no word from Leonora. Then, Khadija, her husband's second wife, sent a message. It was the news they had been dreading. Mike and the rest of the family had no choice but to believe Leonora was dead, killed in a war not hers to fight. Three weeks later, I paid Mike a visit, this time bringing my camera along. He told me that he tried to get through the days somehow, but he hadn't made it through a night without weeping.
Dein Kind ist tot.
Your child is dead. And you failed.
Und das ist halt nicht geschafft hast.
You failed to get her out of there.
Du hast es nicht geschafft, sie rauszuholen. Wir werden diesen Baum pflanzen.
We're going to plant this tree. Not to bury our child. We can't do that. but to say goodbye. We'll have a place where we can go, which is symbolically where she'll be.
Da liegt sie, symbolisch für uns.
Back then, and in the years that followed, no one would have imagined that Leonora would ever be on her way home again. With her family eagerly waiting. The day Leonora left home, almost exactly 6 years earlier, was also a cold, snowy day.
It's hard to believe I'm on this road again after 6 years. I can still remember that back then I thought it might be the last time I'd ever be on this road.
Well, no one better ever say we can't get anything done here. So, Breitenbach.
There's the church where I always played Mary.
Exactly.
I won't survive this. After 6 years, now I'll have a heart attack.
Hello. Oh man.
We were already at McDonald's.
I heard.
Nice. Oh oh.
I can manage.
After 6 years in Syria, Leonora is finally home again.
Is Mama here? Yes, I'm here.
But Leonora's return to normal life wouldn't be as easy as they had expected.
They were all waiting, is she going to have some sparkling wine or not? Will Grandma think bad of me if I don't? Will she think I'm still a radical? It really makes you think, oh man. So okay, I took a sip.
Ich habe einen Schluck getrunken. Es
it tasted terrible. I hated it.
Mit Abstand. Never again. Nie wieder. Ja.
In 2015, Mike had believed his daughter was dead. But the message from Syria was a lie, probably to punish Mike for the escape attempt. Several weeks would pass before this message arrived. Leonora was alive. But still living under a terrorist regime, Daula Islamia, Arabic for Islamic State. In Germany, the family's ordeal continued. Day after day, month after month, Mike wondered how his daughter was doing and if he'd ever see her alive again. As 2015 gave way to 2016, in Syria, people were dying every day on all sides.
Our first Christmas in 16 years without Leo. It's a peculiar feeling. We don't have to say it. We just look at each other and we know. Then you find yourself with tears in your eyes.
Mike and his new wife came to a decision. To go on with life, one way or another. A new baby was coming. A girl. Two years later, in 2017, Raqqa was under attack. Leonora left the war-torn city. Soon, the Islamic State lost control over Raqqa. And by then, Leonora was pregnant.
Okay.
It would be another 3 years before Mike would be reunited with his daughter and meet his granddaughter. ...2021, back in Breitenbach. Leonora's first weeks at home didn't go as smoothly as they'd hoped. She often felt overwhelmed and needed help to manage a daily routine. And she was still under criminal investigation. Eventually, she would face terrorism-related charges.
She returned, but there was a lot of work to be done. She arrived with a huge backpack of experiences and problems. And then she arrived in Germany, and, well, she was handed another backpack with another set of problems. Birth certificates for the children, health insurance, finding daycare.
In 4 months in Germany, I filled out more paperwork than I had in 6 years in Syria. I arrived here and had to start again from zero. I had to register, deal with so many issues. Sometimes everything would depend on a single piece of paperwork.
Mike had been waiting years to have his daughter back. The family helped Leonora with her appointments with the authorities and the paperwork. But it soon became clear that exchanging voice messages was easier than living under the same roof. After 6 years, they couldn't just pick up where they had left off.
Die Quintessenz der letzten sechs Jahre ist.
The last 6 years boiled down to this. All those terrible things, we were able to deal with them, experience them, survive them together, virtually. I could fly to Turkey, no problem. Sit at a table with Al-Qaeda, no problem. We fought for 6 years for her return and couldn't manage to spend 6 weeks under the same roof together.
There were frequent arguments and misunderstandings. Leonora was preoccupied, even self-absorbed. She was under criminal investigation, had survived trauma, and struggled to meet Mike's expectations. After just a few weeks, the situation had escalated. The two had completely different ideas of how life together should work. Mike wanted Leonora to take part in family and village life, while Leonora preferred spending hours alone in her bedroom. Their lives just weren't compatible.
Papa kept saying, come out of your bedroom with the children, come out to the horses. I just wasn't interested. I didn't want to sit around the campfire with people from the village. I couldn't do it.
Something had to change.
Eventually, I contacted the youth welfare office and said, things aren't working out. And the welfare officer said to me, we've been expecting your call for weeks now. Only very few can make it work without help. But we wanted you to come to that realization yourself. Well, thanks.
Leonora and her daughter moved out to a group home for mothers and their children. Leonora took part in court-ordered de-radicalization classes. 3 times a week, she had to report to the local police.
I'll be right back. I'm just going to the police.
3 years earlier, Leonora had very different problems. In the fall of 2018, she and her husband Nihad, Martin, were on the run, surrounded by bombings and air raids. The Islamic State was crumbling, and militarily, the regime was on its last legs.
Hello, Papa, it's me, Leo. We're here in the last village. They've surrounded us. We're all on one street. The Islamic State only controls a single street. That's all. We're all crowded in here. There's no room. We're hungry. The children are freezing. We have to leave. There's no future for us here. We don't even have a single dollar to our name. We have nothing, nothing to eat. So we've decided to surrender.
dann machte das Handy bing, bing, bing.
My phone went beep, 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 and I knew it meant that Radio Syria was back on the air with some sort of interesting news. After 4 years, you develop a bit of a hard shell to protect yourself. It was a voice message from Martin Lemke, and he didn't sound too happy.
Wie gesagt, bitte reden Sie mit der Regierung. Ich bin bereit, wie gesagt, alles zu machen. Ich war nie kämpfen, ich war, habe nicht jemanden getötet, gar nichts. Ich bin bereit, alle Informationen, alles Mögliche zu geben. Und auch die Prozesse, die in Deutschland laufen, ich bin bereit, der Regierung zu helfen. Es ist wichtig für uns, dass die Kinder und die Frauen gesund ankommen.
Und auf einmal kommt er.
Suddenly the person who's been trying to ruin your life for years contacts you, whining for help. First, you're taken aback. What is this? And then it clicks and you realize he's really in trouble now.
And
you think to yourself,
In early 2019, more than 40,000 people from the last remaining IS territory surrendered. Leonora Messing was one of them. Nearly 4 years after leaving Germany, she found herself in the Syrian desert. The images from a news agency went around the world.
Because I want my old life back a long time ago, and now I know that it was a big mistake, big mistake.
For her father at home in Breitenbach, it was the news he had been waiting years to hear.
I basically slept through it. I'd been hoping for this for years. To go to bed, get up, and find the problem had disappeared. On the way to work, it suddenly sunk in. I got out of the car and thought, yes, great, it's over.
Leonora was brought to the Al-Hol prison camp in northern Syria. Housing up to 90,000 people, the camp was under the control of Syrian Kurds, a huge tented prison in the middle of the desert.
I thought to myself, how bad can it be? There must be lots of women who've left IS already here. But when I arrived, I saw everyone dressed in black, from head to toe. I called the camp IS 2.0. And it was.
Und das war auch so.
There was constant tension in the camp. Many wanted nothing more than to go home. Others hoped the Islamic State would rise again. In the middle of it all, Leonora. For nearly 2 years, she and her two children lived in a tent here. While still in the IS, Leonora had become a mother for a second time. The little one's name was Maria, but Maria's health was frail and she'd been hospitalized several times. There was nothing the doctors there could do. Meanwhile, Germany was debating whether to repatriate people who had joined the IS. But were they still dangerous? In March 2019, I went to Syria myself. In interviews, Leonora said she'd turned her back on the IS. But did she really understand what she'd done? To herself, her family, and to the people of Syria? And what had drawn her to the Islamic State in the first place?
Islam was in. In Germany, you saw lots of people converting to Islam. I was young, I guess, and I wanted to revolt. I was into extremes.
She tells me she stopped believing in the IS a long time ago. But what does she think about her own actions? What has she learned these past 4 years?
All I really wanted was to go home. And when that didn't work, things got worse. Because I realized I had to live here, whether I wanted to or not.
Back in Germany, early 2022, Leonora had begun to reflect more deeply on what she'd done. She'd begun to process it all. And it wasn't always easy. Do you feel guilty?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
because I went there. And also, and I truly mean this, because I didn't know about a lot of things they'd done. Even today, I'm still finding out things about them, about the organization, or about him. I'm still finding out things about my former husband from complete strangers.
Her former husband, Nihad Abu Yasser, who's actually Martin Limke. I also met with him in Syria, where he was in custody at the time of filming. In Germany, there's a warrant for his arrest.
Hello.
He seems to be trying to win my sympathy.
Hallo.
Ich bin Volkmar Kabisch. Wir kommen aus Deutschland.
It's hard here. We're under a lot of psychological pressure. I sit in a cell alone and can't see or hear anyone.
Martin Limke is believed to have been one of the highest-ranking Germans in the IS. Another returnee later said he didn't torture, but he allowed others to torture. Whether that's true is unclear. Unsurprisingly, Limke denies it.
Hier ist das erste deutsche Fernsehen mit den Tagesthemen.
In September 2019, I went public for the first time, talking about Leonora and her story in a documentary on a German news broadcaster.
Good evening. She was an ordinary girl in an ordinary village in Saxony-Anhalt. 15-year-old Leonora was well-liked.
The documentary about Leonora and her father Mike also found its way into the camp in Syria. Camp inmates watched it on their cell phones, including Leonora. It was the first time she'd seen how her father had been coping.
I watched it with a small group of women who were also opposed to the IS, who were normal, you could say. We all sat there and were really upset. We were crying. I guess I was the most emotionally affected because it was my father. I was seeing the other side, and of course how much my father had suffered. That really did me in. I love my father so very, very much. Everyone knows that. I'm a daddy's girl, and I couldn't bear to see him suffer. It really hurt.
Other women in the camp also saw the film. Leonora became a target for radical Islamists.
The women really went nuts. They said things like, when you're asleep at night, we'll take your kids and burn you alive in your tent. I was very afraid.
Da hatte ich richtig Angst, ja.
But Leonora didn't back down. She took off her headscarf and switched sides, helping the Kurdish guards who kept control of the women in the camp. Leonora's life and the lives of her children were now at risk. For the IS women in the camp, Leonora was a traitor, an apostate who deserved death. And she wouldn't have been the first. In the last year alone, more than 100 people had died in Al-Hol.
The Kurds got me out of the camp after my photo started circulating online. In all the IS groups, Arabic ones, German and English ones. The picture of me and my child was online. They put a bounty on my head, $70,000. $70,000 for the person who cut my head off or whatever.
Mike refused to give up. Back in Germany, he continued his fight in court. Mike Messing versus the Federal Republic of Germany. He was represented by Dirk Schönien, a lawyer from Hanover who'd taken on many such cases in 2020. The German government always offered the same argument.
The German government wanted to bring the young children back without their mothers, without accompaniment. But that would have just led to even more trauma for the children, of course. Those children, some of them had been born there, gone through war, hunger, bombing raids. That had left its mark on them, and many were seriously traumatized. Then to add to that trauma by separating them from their remaining parent, for me that was unacceptable.
The court agreed, ruling the children had to be repatriated with their mothers. But still, nothing happened.
My biggest wish is that we leave together, but if that's impossible, then at least the children should go.
Mike had hoped that he no longer had to worry about Leonora and his grandchildren. But month after month passed, until finally a German delegation went to Syria. Though the two countries had no diplomatic relations,
the visit helped.
Very early, I don't know exactly what time, two Kurdish women came into my tent saying, "Let's go, yalla yalla, let's go. You have 10 minutes.
Es geht los. Du hast 10 Minuten Zeit."
Leonora, two other German women, and a total of 12 German children were flown out of Syria. But the flight didn't go according to plan.
Maria got very quiet and hardly moved. Then she started twitching with her head and could only look off to one side. That was alarming, and the pediatricians from Germany who were on the flight came over, gave her an injection, oxygen. They did everything they could. When it happened again, we made an emergency landing.
They landed in Vienna.
Suddenly, my baby was gone, and we continued on. We had no choice.
Was passiert da jetzt in Wien? Verstirbt die da jetzt?
I had no idea what would happen in Vienna. Would she die without me by her side? How could this happen? Things can't end like this. I was really afraid she'd die, and I'd never get to see the three of us together here, safely, living a normal life.
Aber wir haben es geschafft.
But we made it. Just imagine, in Syria she was half starved. I had something for her. Papa sent me money, which I used to buy milk in Rojava. But she refused it and kept vomiting. I'd managed to keep her alive on my own. Even though everyone in the camp was against me, together with the Kurds, I managed to keep Maria going. Then we're finally on our way, almost home. And you see the doctors start to talk amongst themselves quietly so that I couldn't hear it. It's getting worse, her life is in danger, we have to land. And all you can think is, oh no.
Mike went to Vienna to get Maria. Leonora's decision to join the IS would follow the family for years.
Based on what we know now, it was almost a spontaneous, momentary decision to join the IS.
Fast schon spontan, muss man es nennen, also eigentlich ad hoc. Und danach.
What followed was 7 years. A quick decision, but then it just dragged on and on.
So wurde das immer mehr und immer länger hat das gedauert.
It didn't get much easier till she finally returned.
A year has passed since Leonora's return to Germany. She and her father are now back on a solid footing. They were able to become closer by living apart. It's been good for both of them. Leonora's trial on terrorism-related charges is due to start in a week. She's hoping for a light sentence without prison time. Going back into custody would undo everything she's accomplished so far. Her education, driving lessons, her daily routine with her daughter.
Jesus, seid doch gut angekommen.
It's going well.
Es gibt keine Anfeinden.
There's no hostility from anyone. No one's saying, "What? Your daughter is in my daughter's daycare? No way."
We had our first parents' evening where we talked about everything. And I just decided to mention it. I didn't plan it. It was spontaneous. I said, "In late January, you'll probably see me on the news again because my trial will get underway." I started crying, and the other mothers also got tears in their eyes. They gave me a lot of support. They said that I shouldn't worry about them. They never had any bad thoughts about me. They've all been very welcoming and added me to their WhatsApp group. Little things like that make me really happy. I don't want people to say, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you." I definitely don't want that. I just want them to let me be.
That they accept you as you are.
Leonora says she regrets what she did. But will that be enough?
In late January 2022, her trial began, behind closed doors since she was being tried as a minor. Leonora testified at length. Almost 4 months later, the verdict was issued, though it was not yet final. Immediately afterwards, she called her father.
Hallo?
Hallo, Leo.
I'm out on probation.
Bewährung. Hörst du mich?
Can you hear me? I got probation. I don't have to go to jail.
Muss nicht ins Gefängnis.
Oh, Leo, that's wonderful.
It's finally over. We can finally put this behind us, Papa. All right, Papa. I'll let you get some sleep.
Now I can sleep. I haven't even shaved. This is all going on TV. I look like a bum.
I love you, Papa, so much.
Ciao.
I hope that in a few years, I'll have both of my children and maybe a partner with a good job that will have a house and live an ordinary life, just like a totally normal person.
Do you think you deserve that?
Good question.
Ich sag jetzt einfach mal ja.
I would say yes. Yes, to be honest.
Muss ich ehrlich sein, klingt jetzt vielleicht bisschen.
It might sound a bit, well, that's what she thinks. But I understand what I did was wrong.
Und es ist nicht so.
It's not like I'm saying poor me or making excuses for myself.
Ich bin aber dran gewesen und so.
I know what I did was wrong, and I'm learning from it. I'm still learning.